Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Thursday, December 18th, 2025 edition of the show. Hopefully everything's going smoothly for you. We got 1-1, Hope City. We went 1-1 last night. Memphis Grizzlies get the win over the Timberwolves, 116-110. No Ja Morant, no Zach Edey, no Cam Spencer, no point guard. No Anthony Edwards. We don't care. With everything that we didn't have, you'll take that win all day. Just the second win over a team above 500 for the Memphis Grizzlies. And listen, continues a streak of, what is this, 9 of 12 now that they've won. You will absolutely take it, considering where this team's been, considering the injury issues. We saw the return of Brandon Clark. It all, John, amounted to a W on the other side, and it finished off a little earlier, obviously, and my partner was there. I've had a tough time with this one. I'm going to bottom line it this way. Felt like opportunity squandered, perhaps, for a Memphis team that, with about 9 minutes left, looked like it was about to get a top 15 win, a real true signature win. Some heroics down the stretch to force overtime, though, after you know, have given the lead back to Vanderbilt, and unfortunately you can't take advantage of what felt like an incredible opportunity to get that win. 77-70, Tigers go down. John was in the building.
I was in the building. And it's nights like those that harken back to the great Charles Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Except in this case, it's a tale of one city. It's a tale of one Hoop City. I don't think Charles Dickens knew about Hoop City in Landport, Portsmouth, United Kingdom, in the 1800s, but that's what we lived last night. It's a weird feeling coming in here, because on the one hand, you feel very, very good about the Grizzlies and their direction. There's no question about that. We'll get to that. But on the other hand, you feel maybe equally bad by the direction of the other team in town, which is the Memphis basketball team, because it's yet another, the last for a long time quad one opportunity, because I don't think Mississippi State qualifies as that at this current moment. Last one, maybe of the season. We'll see what Utah State looks like come February. So no guarantees, but it was a night in Hoop City. It was a night. That's the best way I can put it. I don't want to say it was a good night because it was a 1-1 night. But I don't want to say it was a bad night because it was a 1-1 night. So we'll try to make sense of all this today on the show. We'll do the best we can. We have a loaded lineup today to help us do just that. At 11:25, Drew Hill is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, like you mentioned, heroic night from Jaren Jackson Jr. Heroic night from Jock Landale.
Back-to-back for Jaren.
Yes.
Big.
Yes.
Big.
Needed. This is what we wanted to see. This is what we're needing to see. We're getting it. So it's fantastic. So we'll talk to Drew Hill about that and everything else going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. 12:25, Rob Doster is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball program's loss last night, his thoughts on the team, his thoughts on college basketball at large, some pretty good games this weekend. So we'll talk to him about some of those. Houston, Arkansas on a neutral. That's fun. That'll be a good one on Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Saturday's a hell of a sports day.
Lot going on Saturday.
Yeah. Mississippi State, Memphis, right? That's on Saturday?
I believe it is.
So it's a quick one.
You've also got NFL. You've got college football playoff.
Yes.
I mean, my gosh.
What do you need? Got everything. So we'll get into all that with Rob Doster at 12:25. Then at 1:25, like he does, Bennett Doyle.
Yep.
Join us. So that is the show today, but it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And the best way to sort of, I think, put this in perspective and to frame it is to hear it from the coaches themselves. Let's first hear from the winner, because winner stays. To the winner goes the spoils. Like, when you win a pickup game, the winner stays on. That's the way it should be. That's the way – that's street justice right there, right? Let's hear from the winner of the evening, Grizzlies coach Tuomas Iisalo.
I mean, the deep end is the best teacher. It's like comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. It's we expect him to contribute no matter if it's – if it's, you know, a first-year player or a 10th-year player, he's expected to do his job. And with the injuries and with, you know, different things that we've had, that there have been lineup changes, like, you just got to step up to the challenge. And whatever role you're given on that given night, you're expected to contribute that. And I know that it can sometimes can feel stressful, and you feel for the guys. Of course, like, everybody feels like being put in that situation is a tough situation, but you got to find a way. That's what sports is about. Like, in the end, all the stuff we do around, you know, like game planning, the tactical stuff, whether it's defensive schemes or offensive X's and O's, is like, they're all there to help us win. You know, that's the main point. And that competitive edge, I think we have really developed that. And because of this, you see that the team really believes that we can win together, that whoever we have is who we need.
Whoever we have is who we need. Lots of gold in there. That's Tuomas Iisalo. Now, let's hear from Coach Hardaway.
Man, these are just hard lessons that I haven't had to go through in a very long time. I haven't been through these lessons since my first year. We haven't lost these type of games in a long, long, long time. Seems like every one of these really good games, we just don't know how to win as a team. We make a lot of mistakes that a new team would make, not relying on anyone offensively and having to do it by committee, and then defensively just making those mistakes, and good teams are going to make you pay. And that's what they did. They made us pay. And we lost a tough game.
The joy of defeat, the joy of victory and the agony of defeat. There you go. That was all on display last night in Hoop City. Let's start with the Grizzlies. Which of those quotes from Coach Iisalo was your favorite? Was it the deep end is the best teacher?
Place, but, yeah, but nothing ever grows there.
Right. You like that was your favorite?
I think it speaks to all of us. Probably it obviously goes beyond basketball. We do our growing when we're uncomfortable.
That's right.
And man, it spoke to me.
It spoke to you.
Let me tell you this. Sound a lot better since you won the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if he dropped it after a loss, I'm already tuned out.
That's exactly right.
Likely, after that first sentence.
We're rolling our eyes. Like, oh,
right, right. I mean,
you kind of
got to point that out. However, what he said, and as it relates to this team right now, oh my gosh, that's a guy who you felt like, and I'm not comparing this to Penny's situation at all. I'm comparing it, this is just Iisalo. I felt like at one point he might be overwhelmed, that he might drown in this thing. You got your star player challenging you. You know, there's no effort in the Boston game. You already got folks doubting you. because they're questioning whether your system's going to work here. And to have gotten guys to buy in the way he has, whether that's a Cam Spencer or last night Cedric Coward trying to play point guard because you don't have any. You literally don't have a point guard. Cam Spencer's out for personal reasons. Can't even go to Cam Spencer.
Yep.
John Morant's on crutches. And he's buying it. It's tough for him, right? Because this is not the position he plays. That's what it's – Vince Williams has been in that position. Down the stretch, it was Vince Williams that was handling the ball. His point, all hands having to be on deck and guys having to do jobs that aren't in their comfort zone, but believing through it all they're going to come out, you know, with a positive outcome. Maybe not the win, but at least growth. And so, of course, it speaks to you after a night like last night. And listen, if there's no Jaren Jackson these back-to-back games the way he's performed, and this is then again, John, this might be falling on deaf ears. You know that this what he said after it was Jaren's performance. I mean, my goodness, this is back. This is what you need: 28-12, three assists, three blocks. What is this now? Eight blocks in his last two games. Set aside the offense. That's been great. You're going to him more now. You have to.
Yep.
We said the defensive, former defensive player of the year, has to be effective every night. It seems to be tied to his offense. Look what you've got in the last two games. Eight blocks. So thank goodness that Jaren's back. Hey, Isolo had to work that out. So back to it. A guy that at once thought might be in over his head. Boy, has he come out of this getting his team and now us to buy in. Boy, there's a vision there. At one point, we didn't see it.
Yeah.
But a visionary, and look, a lot of it, you're not going to be able to get to it anytime soon because Zach Edey's out. But there's a vision there that he's got. There's a path he wants to get to. And, yes, easier to see that path. It's clear when it's coming off a win like last night.
Yeah, I thought it was, I've sort of had this sort of, you know, thought that they've made it through that turbulent time with Isolo and Ja. It looked like, you know, at 4-11, something had to give, but actually nothing did. They just kind of like maintained status quo, and it seems again like they're better for it. I don't know what that means for the team moving forward, but that was a great win last night. I know there was no Ant-Man, but you know that's still a damn good team.
Yeah, my thing is, you saw it's sort of like we were talking about with the Timberwolves. Now Anthony Edwards off the floor, but you see how their lack of depth.
Yeah.
Well, Memphis has got dudes,
yep,
even shorthanded, like going down the roster, and that's what it felt like. Clearly, was it? I mean, let's just talk about what a guy who we kind of were laughing at when he was in the starting lineup, Jock Landale, man. You know what you've slotted in him into now is the backup big, and what he's giving you. Minnesota was looking around for dudes like that last night, when they didn't have their star out there and they weren't there. My point is, through this all, you're also, and we touched on this, I touched on this week, like they're finding out how deep they can go. Again, how you build it around, if you've got the right top of it.
Yep.
You know, still question, but boy, some of these pieces and the way you're deploying them and getting them to buy in, very impressive job by Isolo, because we just, I mean, my gosh, John, they don't have a point guard at all. You know, they had what was the line by the time of tip? 7.5, 8, whatever it was.
Well, I don't know, because 6.5 got ruled out, so I'm assuming that came down. But
maybe it came down again on the road. Yeah. You'd only beaten one 500 team, and frankly, when you beat them, Phoenix wasn't over 500.
Yep.
So it's not some impressive win we're holding up like you beat OKC or something.
100%.
And last night you're able to go on the road as shorthanded as they were, John. You took your defensive identity. We called it the anchor off the floor in Zach Edey. Just an impressive win. You know, in something you were hoping to see, that this growth would eventually lead to wins over teams better than 500. That team had won, what, 7 of 9? Even though they didn't have Ant Edwards for a third straight game, I think it was 7 or 7 of 8. And you slowed them down last night and frankly made them look pretty shallow in terms of, you know, roster.
Right.
You know, they lacked guys that you had, even
right,
shorthanded. It's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Quite frankly.
Yes.
Nice win,
I suppose. 9 of 12. You know, again, Jaren is producing in the way that you hoped he would, you know, as a max contract player. 12 rebounds even last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
he was locked in. The passion at the end of the game, like that's what, even more so than the numbers, which are beautiful and you want to see him, especially with what he's getting paid, as we've pointed out. Like, he was locked in the end of that game. He's screaming.
Yep.
You know, they're flexing and everything else. That's he seems, we said it, him and Isolo have to figure this out. And listen, when Ja's out, and maybe this out, you know, when you go to Jaren and you make it a point of your offense, and when he's got a mismatch, you take slow things down and let him go ISO, he excels. And then look at what you get on the defensive end. And so this is the guy that you hopefully want to see and you get every night.
Absolutely.
He was bought in. So, yes, Isolo deserves credit. We start there, use the quote. But clearly Jaren has stepped up and needs to stay here mm-hmm. and stay engaged. Hopefully you can keep him that way when you got all your pieces back.
Also, a quick shout out to Brandon Clark.
Yeah, good to see him out there.
He only played 17 minutes, but they were you know, pretty
you
important
him.
Minutes. Yeah, he
Man,
got the starting
coming
job.
Off surgery. Yeah, I expect him to come off the bench.
Right. And he didn't play starters minutes, right? I mean, ultimately they ended up going more with Landale there. But, you know, again, he brings energy, and it was obvious to see.
Here's the thing. What they found out, and we've seen it, Jock is better slotted as the backup. So even if you've got to put Brandon Clark out there, somebody in front of him, and you're it doesn't matter down the stretch. That's who you were playing anyway, Jock Landale hitting all those threes. But point being, what he's settled into nicely, that
yes.
role. Jalen Wells, again, you know, he has refound, I know last night, 5 of 13, 2 of 6 from 3. But over the last, 8, 9 games, guy's averaging 18 points. He's shooting 58, 59%. That was gone. You've been able to get his confidence back. KCP's accepted a bench role.
Absolutely.
So I'm just pointing to a guy that has getting guys to buy into roles at a time where, frankly, you're asking them to play roles that they're not used to playing. Pretty impressive job for a first-year coach.
Very much so. Very much so. So, I mean, he won't be in the mix for Coach of the Year, you know, just – You know, that's just not the way to work. But, I mean, it does seem like
you need it's steps.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And it just felt like one was taken last
night. Yeah, I mean, the plane,
especially
you know,
the leaf level.
Yeah, it just feels like, you know, like the plane was wobbling and they've stabilized the plane. You know, that's the best way I could say it. And obviously, you talked about it a little bit on text, like just how you could see, you know, in an interview process, how Isolo can, you know, I mean, and they are his principles. Like, I do think the guy has principles that he lives his basketball life by.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, once the players get used to that, and he's very blunt and he's very frank and he doesn't have any interest in sugarcoating things for feelings, right?
Right, right, right.
Because it's kind of like what Mike McDaniel was saying about, too. He's like, listen, I know that there are feelings involved in this decision to bench Tua, but I can't operate on feelings. I have a responsibility to the organization to do things that are best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like Isolo was basically doing that. Like, obviously there's a lot of emotions and a lot of history with some players on this team, but, you know, in the end, he's got to do what he feels is best for the organization that he was hired to represent.
Well, I agree 100%. Part of what we questioned about Isolo, okay, does his system work? But the real part, and it really applied to job, was can you speak their language?
Yep.
Right? Can you get them to buy in?
Yep.
Can you talk to them? And you hear it when he's coming across in these in with that answer that we listen to, you know, what he's telling. But you imagine too that's what he's convincing them of. Hey, I that's where you're going to grow, and that's what's important. He seems to be speaking their language. Now, again, you had to find Jaren's language. You know, it's almost like everybody's got their own. To your point, you got to go and maybe last two games he has. You got to find Ja's language, get him comfortable. But that's what I'm sensing with Isolo is a man who's comfortable finding how to speak each player's language. You wondered it about him. You wondered if he was just going to lean back on the system or if as what was it, Drew Hill? You're coaching NBA players, but you're also coaching people. Back to your point. And that's clearly with the buy-in he's getting. It's a sign,
yes.
Seems to be evidence that he's getting that. That bodes well for him, in my estimation, especially being able to get this done so shorthanded.
Absolutely.
What could it look like when he's got all the pieces?
Yes.
That's what I sit and wonder today.
Yes. So that was the Grizzlies last night. Then you had the Tigers. 9.5-point underdogs at home against Vanderbilt. You know, this is a Vanderbilt team that had come in undefeated 10-0, top 10 at KenPom, just outside the top 10 of the AP poll. Yet, when you looked at the roster, there was nothing that was like necessarily scary, right? They don't have a future, you know, pro on the team. Like, you just kind of felt like not totally like Baylor because, you know, obviously I think Vandy's a cut above Baylor, but again, at home, a game that, you know, you'd like to win, and you think you could win, and you know, Memphis had a chance. I mean, they slept walk for like the first 25 minutes of the game, I would say, and then like they started forcing turnovers, started pressing, they really upped the urgency, and they even took a 5-point lead at one point in the second half, and then it was just like boneheaded. It was just boneheadedness is what I would say. Quante Berry fouls with 20 seconds on the shot clock, like a, you know, an 11 second differential. No need for that. It didn't matter because they took the overtime. But then Zach Davis, man. Zach Davis committed some of the, like, worst fouls you will see. Fouled a Vandy player 90 feet away from the basket with under 2 minutes left in overtime. And this, of course, is, you know, and Zach has had some good moments. But I also go back to that put back against Wake Forest that he didn't need to put up. When he got the rebound and could have just dribbled it out and got fouled,
right.
He put the shot back up one, for no reason. That missed and obviously gave Wake Forest a chance to stay in the game. So which
propensity
they went on to win.
For those.
Yeah. So
Zach does.
His IQ has been very questionable. And it ultimately kind of felt, Jason, like it was the lack of discipline that cost them this game last night.
Yes, the lack of discipline, execution. Good point to all that. I would say that for me coming away from this game, as much as we talked about the difference between Memphis and Louisville and the money difference, this was not a money difference last night.
Right.
This $4 to $5 million roster should have won that game last night at home against a top 15 opponent. So you go back to what you're touching on. This wasn't about somebody having more than you. Like we conveniently and I think fairly put it on with Louisville, who has a, depending upon who you ask, what is it, 10 million, 12 million?
Yeah.
I've heard all kinds of numbers, wherever you say
13 to 14.
13 to 14 million. There you go. That's not what last night was.
Right. Like,
and you had come back with this $4 to $5 million roster and taken control over a top 15 team. And John, here's my thing. I can't remember the last time a top 15 team came in here and played so poorly. Part of that is to Memphis's credit. You had Vandy turning the ball over left and right, doing stuff that they don't do, haven't shown. What it felt like, John, especially as Memphis took control, was that, man, this Vandy team really hadn't been tested, really hadn't played anybody athletic. Mm-hmm. Here comes Memphis about to seize this opportunity to get a top 25 win against a team that you've got playing really bad. Frankly, looking like a middle-of-the-pack SEC team. Like, if this is top 15, if this is top of the SEC, which I don't think it is, and I don't think you would say, that's what we saw. You had your opportunity, and because of a lack of execution, because of a lack of defined roles, my gosh, we should have expected it. What was it, the eighth starting lineup in a couple of, in 11 games, 10 games, whatever it is, and a couple of minutes in, Penny's taking three of them out. You know, including, what was it, Aaron Bradshaw. I think he left in Sincere and Doug. I could be off on that, but my point is, we've said that going in, you hadn't been able to settle into anything, and down the stretch that cost you. Yeah, you tried to slow it down there down the stretch. I think that backfired on you. But my point, we can look at roster like we did at Louisville, say that's the issue, or we can be honest about this. Look, sure, Zach made a critical mistake down the stretch against Wake Forest. So did Penny Hardaway, not telling Doug McDaniel to foul.
Yeah.
Right? And last night, Penny Hardaway used
it. To miss the free throw.
And thank you for the correction. And last, because sometimes I get ahead of myself. I appreciate you doing that. But then last night, again, you're using challenges that you ended up needing later.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I can't sit up here and look at this roster like it's so convenient to do and point to it and say, oh, it's effort, or oh, it's having to replace 15 or whatever, or they need to step up, or this guy needs to do. Aaron Bradshaw's in and out. When I'm telling you again, Penny's got to do his best work here. It doesn't help when you've got the ESPN crew saying basically Penny don't coach offense.
Yeah, that was rough.
Remember, this was sort of this isn't the first time we've heard this. And listen, Penny's got sets or whatever, and they said that he tells them in the positions to be in, and then he says go. You know, Penny's talked about it, giving them an independence. What did Malcolm Dandridge say? Remember what Malcolm Dandridge said? He doesn't care what we do on the offensive end. We just got to make sure. So this isn't the first time we've heard this. I would tell you, with 15 new ones and what we've seen, this is the year you've got to have some structure. Because, again, down the stretch, we saw a team that didn't know its roles, that's not used to playing with Hassan. And God bless them, because you haven't had Hassan, but now you're trying to put him in. And Hassan gets you to overtime, makes that wild shot, but it crumbled right after that.
It did.
And there is no chemistry. And it doesn't feel like you're getting closer to anything. So it was super frustrating. When you've done a ton on the defensive end to rattle them and get this opportunity to knock out this top 15 team, frankly, John, what it amounted to with non-conference and all that, and whether or not you could, you know, it's going to matter for a you know, some sort of where it's not the auto bid. Forget, set all that to the side. You would have had a signature win, a quad one, and could tell yourself like the Grizzlies can, man, we can see our way out. We got enough.
Yep.
But you let that opportunity go, and it is roster and guys stepping up. It's also coaching.
It is.
It's top to bottom, and so that's why I came away from that game so frustrated, because it was there for you to have. You cannot blame this on what you don't have.
Yeah.
In terms of NIL, this was a game you should have won.
Yep.
And that's what felt so unfortunate. You had taken control of, you had earned it with your defensive effort, and you let it go because of a lack of roles, lack of execution. And a lack of what feels like, if we're going to compare it to what went on last night with the Grizzlies, a clear direction.
Yeah. I mean, I was there. The crowd is a separate issue. They finally got into it late in the game. Man, it was sad to see how small that crowd was. I will say that for a top 25 matchup.
I'll tell you this, for the folks that went down there coming across the TV, I'm glad you were down there. Once that crowd got in, Memphis took the lead. It seemed like it helped.
Oh,
again,
it
talk about
did.
Even just the fewer still.
Absolutely.
When that place has got folks, so I credit the folks that went down there.
Yeah.
You know, because they got loud.
Yeah. It did.
When Memphis took
eventually.
Control.
And they did feed off it, because Vandy started. There was a stretch where they had like three straight turnovers.
Bro, Vandy had like 20 turnovers. They don't do that.
Yeah. So Memphis definitely did a good job there. But I mean, this ended up being a coin flip game. I mean, even though it was lined at 9.5, it ended up being a coin flip game that was decided ultimately by mental mistakes. And mental mistakes were the same thing that undid the Tigers against Wake Forest. It was the same thing that undid the Tigers, if we're going to be honest, against Purdue. When Aaron Bradshaw flops and then points to the guy's face, and as he's having an awesome game there with his above-the-rim ability against a Purdue front line that's not that athletic, he gets tossed, right? He gets tossed from the game or fouls out or whatever it was, right? I can't remember exactly. I think he fouled out eventually. Mental mistakes. And in the end, that is coaching.
Yeah.
In the end, when your players are out there repeatedly making mental mistakes in high leverage moments, it is on you.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day. So, I mean, the Quante Berry foul and then the Zach Davis foul happening in succession, like, how is that happening? How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Either are you communicating to the players that they should not be fouling in these situations? Like, are they deviating from what you're telling them to do? Because either one is an issue.
You touched on this. I think you've written about it. I think you even spoke it before the season. But Penny's gone and gotten a lot of players that have come from losing situations.
Absolutely.
And they said this on the ESPN broadcast, because Penny apparently told it to them. He thought that their thirst to win would get them out of it, right? What that alone would help them get out. And of course, he's going to provide some structure. But that's my point. You said this before the season, John. Losing players don't necessarily learn how to win just because they get into a program that's won before. You have to teach them how to win. And when you have multiple, right? Boy, I go back to, this is a team that you've got to have the structure for. Penny's style is independence offensively. Want to let these guys go. This is not the team or the time for that. Maybe you can give it to them later. When you had PJ and Tyrese, boy, and Tyrese took that step back to let PJ shine, you got a backcourt that understands it. You can let them roll. You can't let this team roll right now. And you've squandered some opportunities as a result of it. Again, not telling Doug to miss the free throw.
Mm.
You've got to have some structure with this one.
Yep.
You've squandered some opportunities. I'll say this, though, because, again, our tone sounds like it's dire. There is enough there to go into the American and to win the conference tournament. Just because, again, you lost last night in a game that you were a pretty big underdog doesn't mean that, John, in the end, what we've said has to happen can't happen. There's enough there.
Right.
There is enough there. What he has to do, and hopefully he doesn't change it up because he lost the game last night, man, stick to a starting lineup. You know, stick to something outside that first 5 minutes you think you're going to be able to roll with, and then get you three or four that know they're going to come in right after that, man. I just think it would help. I'm not trying to coach the team. I think it would help those guys in terms of defining roles. Some years it's more natural.
Right.
It falls into place. This is not one of those years. You have to get this figured out so that, yes, this team goes on to do the thing we expect it to do, go win the regular season and the conference tournament, make an NCAA tournament run, coach this team up. We've seen you do it with previous guys before. I like Hassan Abdul-Hakim.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to like there.
Yeah.
Doug McDaniel is useful. You can't put everything on his back, though.
Right.
We've seen it. And so they can still get through this even after as disappointing as that loss was last night.
Yeah.
The win would have changed things maybe in terms of belief for us, but in terms of the path, it didn't change anything. You still, you know, even with a win, you were going to have to win your conference tournament.
Yeah. It's just you're sitting here at 4-6.
Yeah, so if you want to take the bird's eye, the sky view of it, sure.
And I think, like,
well, I mean, what is your?
No, I mean, that's what they were going to probably be. I mean, based on the roster and based on the schedule,
you should have won last night. You should have beaten UNLV,
right.
And Lord knows you screwed off the Wake Forest game.
Right. So
that's three. Now, even if you want to take Vandy off,
right,
because they're a top 15 team,
I mean, that's the difference. That you're 6-4.
You flip it in a
right.
year, John. Where you were saying 7-6, we
right.
think we'd take it. 8-5, we'd know we'd take.
Right. So I say that they were not always going to be 4-6. They're underperforming at 4-6.
But and here's the discipline. I think this is why I'm so frustrated. Those aren't $4 to $5 million roster issues. Those losses right there
correct.
That you should have.
Right.
You didn't come to play against UNLV. You got run out of your own building. What
yep.
were they down? Three guys. They were also down three guys to TSU, and TSU beat them.
Beat them. Yep. In Vegas.
Right. Wake Forest. Was in the end, we can blame this on Zach Davis and boneheaded plays down the stretch, brother.
Yeah.
Tell Doug McDaniel to miss that free throw. That's coaching.
Right. That's right.
Penny took it upon himself.
He did.
But that I mean, my gosh, that's 101. Right? And then yesterday, worst ever performance we've seen from a top 15 team coming into the Forum.
It was bad.
I looked at that team, I said, this is good SEC basketball? Like,
yeah.
They're going to go into the SEC, right? Now, the SEC's down this year. But my thought was they're going to go in the SEC and get hammered by some bigger teams.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I said, Memphis got these folks rattled. Good job defensively.
Exactly.
We're going to get this one. And because, again, of that, it just felt like that lack of roles, lack of execution, like you said, and you've laid it out well. You wasted it.
Yep. You absolutely wasted it. There's more to get to. There was some interesting stuff about Aaron Bradshaw that came on the broadcast, that was revealed on the broadcast.
Bro, they were telling it, weren't they?
Yes. So we'll get into that, but we got to take a break, come back with Drew Hill. Stick around, J&J.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
FM ESPN.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. And he's got a playoff game. There's no question about that. Tomorrow night. And then he's got a pseudo playoff game on Saturday with the Chicago Bears. So it's a big week for Drew Hill, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Drew.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Definitely feel good about the Bears, feel not as good about Alabama. So we'll see how this weekend goes. Yeah,
fair enough. Man, Tuomas Isolo. I always don't want to say the accent. You know, that's just me being lazy. But Tuomas Isolo was a gold mine last night of quotes. Talking about, you know, the deep end. I can't remember exactly. The deep end is the best place to learn. Comfort zone is where it's beautiful, but nothing grows there. And who we have is who we need. I think I had most of those correct. It's a lot easier to buy after a win like that, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. He's always been a little bit of a basketball philosopher, if you have followed the history of him. And forgive me, I'm a little under the weather today, so I know I probably sound funny. But if you follow his history, if you go back, there's podcasts with the Basketball Collective that he did years and years ago talking about just the way he thinks about basketball. And it's very poetic. Everything seems to be very poetic. But you're right. I think the message is better received on a day like today when you had players step up in a game that looked like was not set up for the Grizzlies to win, and they still found a way to get a victory. Everybody has more time for, you know, Isolo to wax poetic, you know, after the game. So, yeah, I think we've gotten a lot of that. It just hasn't really been grasped all that much until this team started to win.
What's been the difference, Drew, for Jaren Jackson Jr. in the last two games? How much is him just stepping up? How much is Isolo saying, here, we're going to go? I mean, there were times there where we saw the ISO, especially against the Clippers, and you had smaller guys on you. We said they had to find a balance. What are you seeing with these last two games with Jaren?
I think over the last two games, so you go back to the Clippers game, they went to him immediately.
Yep.
On those early possessions in the game. And yeah, that's kind of that is the idea that the team had to try to get him out of the funk. But it was when those shots went in that everything really changed for Jaren. I've been on here, we've given really long-winded answers and tried to figure out what the problem would be. I think the answer was he just had to get out of his head a little bit. Like that, and that was something that I had even asked around about, you know, over the last few days. And I think that was some of it, was that people had believed or were believing that Jaren was just in his head, that Jaren was capable of playing better. But for whatever reason, there was some sort of mental block that was happening that was limiting him on the court. I think as soon as they went to him with those early shots and he finally saw some go in, that combined with going back to that first Portland game or the game against Portland and the way he played defensively, something switched in his mind there and helped him sort of get back on track mentally. And we've seen just how big of a difference it's made over the last two games. I mean, that the last game against LA was maybe the best Jaren game of the season, maybe one of the best of his career. So, yeah, Jaren looks a lot better now.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, that can continue. I love the, you know, who we have is who we need. I don't know if there's a quote that defines this version of the Grizzlies better, because you truly have no idea who you're going to have.
It's a little movie. It's a little Disney movie. You know, there's a little Disney movie in that. Like, I could see that being said.
Yeah, I think this will probably air on Tubi, but you know? Disney is fine. I think
yeah.
I think it's more of a Tubi movie until they can make a top four run.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This one's on Fandango. You gotta go get it online, right?
It's looking. Yeah. You know, if it were a movie though, I would say it was a rocky start to the movie. I was falling asleep. I didn't really know where it was going, but it's picked up. The action is picked up in this movie, and now I'm engaged. Now I want to see how the movie's going to end, if we're going to keep with that analogy.
Yeah, no, I think that the team has obviously looked better, and things get a lot more entertaining when the team wins. Like, we all know that. I mean, you can go look through my daily Memphian readership numbers and figure out. That's not hard to figure out. A lot more people pay attention when the team's winning. And a lot of that is just the schedule, though, John. Like, if you go back and look at the beginning of the season, who they were playing and who they were without, it was always sort of set up for it to be rocky at the beginning. And now they've sort of stabilized. The hope is, by the time we get to the end of this movie and this movie's ready to wrap up and they're going to roll the credits, that you feel like the movie got better as it went along, right? And so far, we're at that stage where we feel like, hey, maybe this is watchable, but it's going to take a little bit more, I think, to where you're going to give this a Rotten Tomatoes score over 75% or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it feels like there's still progress to be made. But guess what? Some of the movie stars, the stars of this movie, they haven't even been in the movie yet. You're waiting for them to show up. So, to use the movie analogy, I think that the goal is, right, to get that audience score at the end, not necessarily to crush right out of the gates. And I think the Grizzlies are headed in that direction a little bit.
This ankle sprain with Ja, where at first you were questionable, then doubtful, then out. Are you expecting it still to be short term, Drew?
Yes. I mean, you can, at this point with Ja, you can sort of only go based off of the signals that you're getting from the organization. And right now it was, well, maybe he could play against Minnesota. And then it was a little bit of a half step backwards of, no, he's not quite going to be ready then. So, we're not sure if he's going to play in the next game, but it doesn't seem like it's something that's going to be super extended because of the status. You know, if they had come out and ruled him out, or if we had seen a news release, let me put it this way. I think we would have gotten a news release if they felt that it was going to be an extended injury. We would have gotten the Grizzlies have announced the following injury update on Ja Morant. Yep. He will be reevaluated in blank days. So until we get that, I'm going to believe that this is a short-term thing.
And then I was going to ask, what did you think of what we saw in the season debut of Brandon Clark coming off the knee surgery? Gets the start there.
Yeah, I thought it was notable that they were wanting to start him. I think it sort of speaks to how they feel about Jock Landale coming off of the bench, right?
Yep.
And the way he fits, that he's just a better player off the bench and a better fit off the bench. So I was with it. I thought that was a good decision. And I thought Brandon looked fine, and I think you were hoping to see some of the bounce, some of the energy, and although it wasn't, you know, like some sort of signature performance, I thought that it was close enough to what you would have expected to feel good about it. I mean, you still saw some of the pop. You still saw some of the athleticism. I think, you know, there will be a lot of rust. You know, this is a guy that hasn't played since March of last year.
Yep.
So it wasn't even just, you know, it was the end of last season, not even just the beginning of this season. So I know he was really excited to get out there, and I had a couple conversations with Brandon Clark prior to the start of training camp, in which he was, and this was before they knew he was going to have to sit out again with a knee synovitis, and, you know, all he really could talk about was just how excited he was to play again, because it had felt like everything had been so disrupted from the Achilles to the knee, you know, that he just was so excited to get back out on the court again. And so I know that was a major blow for him to have to sit out. So I'm sure the energy and the juices were, like, over the top a little bit last night, and that probably wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
So I expect he'll be better sort of as he gets a few games under his belt here.
Yeah, and again, it's like the amazing thing about all of this is that the bottom of the West is so bad. I mean, it's great to win 9 of 12, and you certainly prefer to win 9 of 12, but you're just sort of insulated in a way, right? Because every team, there's just really no imminent threat of a team behind you, you know, usurping you. That's just kind of how it feels to me.
Right. That's why I was talking about, like, the last jaw injury coming back from the calf, or any injury for that point. Think about it now in terms of Edie. Like, you want to get a taste of Edie and Morant on the court together for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You have long-term franchise decisions to make. But in the short term, and as you look at this season in general, I mean, I just don't see the Grizzlies being worse than any of those teams behind them. Like, that's ultimately what it comes down to is you look at a team that's 13-14 that's beat up on some of the bad teams in the league. The Clippers are a full disaster. The Pelicans are a full disaster. Two teams that don't have their first-round picks, by the way. Just disgusting. Sacramento is really bad. Dallas, although Cooper Flagg is playing better recently, he had that 42-point performance, still a long ways away, and they may trade Anthony Davis. How much do you want to believe in Portland? Like, all these teams stink. All these teams behind the Grizzlies stink. So, ultimately, if we were looking at this season as the Grizzlies are probably a play-in team, nothing's changed, even though they have a losing record as it stands right now. Grizzlies are still probably a play-in team, and that's probably where they will be at the end of the season. So I wouldn't rush these guys back. I don't think there's any need to, like, worry about the standings right now. I think Memphis is going to be where we always thought that they were going to be to begin this season.
And then Drew, just to so I can catch up, we touched on Ja. We think short term. Cam Spencer, the personal reasons kept him out against Minnesota. We think and we hope short term. Where are we with Ty as just sort of a catch up? Are we still weeks out from that? Do you think is it starting to get to a point where maybe, you know, he is back and practicing? Like, how far out do you think we might be from this team getting Ty Jerome back?
Yeah, I mean, with Ty. Well, so first of all, with Cam. There was a death in his family. So I don't expect it's going to be a long-term thing, but my thoughts are certainly with the Spencer family. Absolutely. So hopefully, you know, it's just the one game, but, you know, they everybody deserves to be allowed to have some time to grieve. So that's the deal with Cam. And then with Ty Jerome, I can only go off of what I was told as this injury happened and sort of as it's progressed, which is like, that initial timeline that was put out for Ty Jerome, and we've since gotten an update, was nowhere near the range that he was going to come back. Like, it was a severe enough calf strain that there was real worry about it, that they felt like they were going to be really cautious and careful with him. We are now getting to late December, so we are getting into the range that I sort of thought maybe we would start to see him on the court a little bit more. I haven't seen him out there doing a whole lot at practice yet. But I imagine that we're at this point, based on the timelines that I've heard in the past, we're getting to the range where maybe a little bit of ramp up will start happening. So while I don't think it's like immediately imminent, I do think we are getting closer to like a stage of the Ty Jerome sort of recovery where we're going to get more updates, if that makes sense, versus he's just like sitting on the sidelines all the time.
All right, you got a playoff game tomorrow against Oklahoma. Last time you played Oklahoma and Alabama, you lost as a 7-point favorite. What's going to be different about this one on the road in Norman?
Well, hopefully you don't outgain them by 220 yards and lose again. Like, that would be pretty miserable. I think if you're Alabama, you feel good about it because you say, well, we've lost each of the last two times we've played Oklahoma, and we were probably the clearly better team in both of those games, and we lost anyway. So at some point, some of this luck is going to turn around and you're going to play a game in which you outgain them and actually win. And so you can feel sort of good about that going, yeah, we lost that first game to Oklahoma this year. But if it weren't for some of our stupid mistakes, if we just limit some of those, you know, we're the better team. I just worry about the health of some of this roster and how checked in this team is. It doesn't, like, I feel like it's, nothing could ever be more clear than Ryan Williams going in the transfer portal at the end of the season, the way that some of this season has sort of wrapped up. And he was benched in the first half against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, and he's kind of been a ghost the second half of the season. And, like, he was really important, and he's nowhere to be found. Then you had Ty Simpson. I want to say Ty Jerome because he's been talking Grizzlies. Then you have Ty Simpson, who was incredible after that Florida State game, for that stretch of games in which Alabama won against ranked opponents. My head is so scrambled. This kid kept me up all night last night. But, you know, you've got, you know, Ty Simpson, who was great in that stretch, but has really tailed off here at the end of the season and isn't, you know, a candidate. They're not talking Ty Simpson number one overall draft pick like they were in mid-October. So, I think Alabama's got to hope Ty Simpson is healthy. Supposedly he's dealing with a back injury. And they got to hope he plays well without turnovers. And I feel okay about them against Oklahoma. I don't feel great about them against Indiana. I think it'll be a close game on Friday. I think we'll get an entertaining game at least between Alabama and Oklahoma.
If you did lose, and I know Kalen DeBoer said I'm staying in Alabama, but if you did lose and lost, you know what is that? That's a fourth loss. Whether it's you, Drew, or for Alabama fans in terms of what the feeling would be, Michigan's waiting. They're just waiting and hoping that he loses. And then they're calling him and saying, now come, because they're never going to appreciate you there following Nick. Right? You made a CFP and they hate you. How would it be for that fan base, Drew, the Alabama fan base, sort of good riddance, like we can do better and sort of, you know, not what happened in Oxford? Or would there be this sort of, man, you know, just what would the temperature be if DeBoer decided to leave? Would you guys be fine with it?
I don't think it'd quite be what it would be in Oxford. I think there certainly would be some fans that would be upset about it. And I think there'd be a lot of people that feel a little indifferent because, like I said last week, I just don't know if there's a cultural fit there.
Yep.
That feels like those, like DeBoer and Alabama are intrinsically tied together. You know,
yes,
not the way that there was with Nick Saban, and Nick Saban had built this reputation as this, you know, hard ass, like will yell and scream and whatever else. And DeBoer's just not that. And I think people just grow so used to having things be one way. And when it's now operates way different, then they don't like that or they don't appreciate it as much. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a hit, especially timing-wise, if Alabama were to lose DeBoer, because I don't know who you would replace him with at this stage that you would feel great about. You could have some pipe dreams in the back of your mind, but those probably aren't going to work out, especially this late. So I think it'd be a pretty difficult situation if he were to leave. And so for that reason, I'm not cheering for it to happen. But, you know, I'd be a little indifferent. I'm not going to lie. If he were to leave, I wouldn't be upset. Mm-hmm. I think the way some Ole Miss fans are upset about the way he kept some stuff.
Drew, thanks as always, man. Appreciate your time.
Bear down, brother. This is it.
Yep, bear down, fellas. This is the weekend. We need this one. So good luck.
All right, my man.
Good
talk to you later.
Yep.
See you.
Drew Hill covers Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Unfortunately, the Tigers didn't win last night, but because this story would have, I think, maybe hit a little better if they had. But the announcers on ESPN last night revealed something quite controversial about Aaron Bradshaw and how Penny is motivating players in 2025 and beyond. First, I've heard of it. We'll get into it when we get back. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.